And out of the hut, before my horrified gaze, stepped the young man who had greeted me at the wedding reception, Erik Hansen, Carl Gustav's boyhood friend. I felt my senses start to swim with sick terror. He had sensed something wrong then. He couldn't fail to unmask me now. I watched him through a haze as he walked steadily up to me and gazed intently at my face.
"Prince Carl," he said at last. "Carl, is it you? Is it really you?"
I forced myself to try to smile. "Erik!" God, what a croak it was.
"Why, Erik, what brings you here?"
He stepped back, his face white, his hands trembling. He looked from Saptan to the doctor, shaking his head.
"Gentlemen, I don't know. It's he, and yet I don't know."
"Try him in Danish," said Saptan, his single grey eye fixed on me. I knew then I was done for. Bersonin's efforts had been insufficient to give me more than the crudest grasp of one of the hardest tongues in Europe. It must have shown in my face as Erik turned back to me, for the damned old villain Saptan added, "Ask him something difficult." Erik thought a moment, and then, with an almost pleading look in his eyes, spoke in the soft, slipshod mutter that had baffled my ear at Schönhausen. I caught the words, "Vor Beude," and hardly anything else.
Christ, he wanted to know where somebody lived. God knows who. Desperately, I said, "Jeg forstår ikke," to show that I didn't understand, and it sounded so hellish flat I could have burst into tears. Slowly, an ugly look came over his fair young face.
"Nei," he said slowly, "de forstår mig ikke." He turned to them and said in a voice that shook,
"He may be the devil himself. It is the prince's face and body, but it is not Carl Gustav. My life on it."
There wasn't a sound in the clearing except for my own croaking breaths. Then Saptan put his pipe in his pocket.
"So," says he, "right, my lad, into that hut with you, and if you make a wrong move, you're with your maker. Jakob," he shouted, "sling a noose over the branch yonder.